Hello, this is Miss McIntosh, my darling, the commentary. We are on chapter 68 for this episode, and let's see, I did 1 through 70, and we're going to do 71. Let me see. This chapter, it goes to 108 paragraphs. All right, yeah, I knew it was a long one. Okay, so we're with Mr. Weed. Oh, 67 and 68 might have gotten flipped in the schedule because I had a short chapter that was in there. And so it looks like I got flipped in the schedule, but there is chapter 67. It might be listed in between the two episodes for 68. Might have to hunt for it a little bit. Sorry about that. So paragraph 71. Mr. Weed cannot take responsibility for a person who dreams of being hanged before the actual hanging. Most do not think about it. Excuse me. 72. Mr. Weed talked about a person who murdered a jockey that was supposed to lose a horse race. The murderer still believed he was at the racetrack and could not be reasoned with him. In the U.S., over 50% of inmates out of the 2.2 million people incarcerated are believed to be suffering from some kind of mental illness. I know when I worked with the adult education program, most had a third grade education. And that would be, let's see, well, the mention of jockeys, that would go along with Perone. 73, Mr. Weed said his memoirs would be very short. 74, Mr. Weed claimed his efficiency was his only reason for being a hangman at all. He had wanted to help humanity out of a difficult situation. Sometimes humanity would not be helped. 75, Mr. Weed became interested in hangings after watching a Negro who was hanged for sleeping with a white woman. Oh, I spelled that wrong. Sleeping. He was cut down too soon. Mr. Weed believed that altogether this was a tale of what never happened and yet happened. Happened every day in America. After he was hanged, people claimed to see him pushing a battered baby buggy over a bumpy field and scared people. Mr. Weed thought the botched hanging caused unnecessary pain. The Negro must certainly have been aware of the fact that officially dead, he was unofficially alive. Who would want to be unofficially alive? The last hanging of a black man for raping and murdering a 70-year-old white woman. The crowd drew 20,000 because Florence Thomas took over as sheriff for her deceased husband. She was the first woman to preside over a hanging. Lynching victims in the U.S. are also listed in the references. And he's pushing a battered baby buggy, and that's the same as, let's see. So the baby buggy being pushed here mirrors Mr. Bonebreaker does the same thing in Chicago. 76, the landlord of the tavern advised tolerance since he was also reported missing when his ships sank. 77, Mr. Weed said he was the soul of tolerance. 78, Mr. Weed does a rehearsal for every hanging and thinks they are more important than the hanging. 79, Vera describes Mr. Weed as he talks about rehearsing for a hanging. 80, Mr. Weed got the height and weight measurements from the convicted and made a sandbag to practice with. If the convict refused to give the information, then Mr. Weed said the state would have to call in another and less efficient hangman to do the fatal job. He would not serve anybody who did not want his services. He was almost never rejected. 81, Mr. Weed said the ones who rejected were insulted at his tactful proposal of a painless death. Such men were usually quite young and inexperienced and a menace to society. Others hanged themselves before he did. The majority accepted with resignation the fact that if they must be hanged, they had better be hanged painlessly. They understood that he merely wished to help them. Mr. Weed often heard confessions, and on one occasion, which he did not like to remember, he was told where he might find the foot of a woman in a shoebox. The foot was not there. 82. Mr. Weed said practicing in advance made a successful hanging. It was the knot. His children could tie very tight knots. I was just saying the shoebox, because that reminds me of Mr. Bonebreaker as well, because he was a shoe salesman. 83, the landlord said, some knots are easier to tie than to untie. The only knot I know about that cannot be untied is the marital knot. 84, Mr. Weed disagrees. 85, Mr. Weed was very uncomfortable with the belief that most men did not know what they were doing when they committed a crime or why. He was only talking of those that committed only one evil act or a series of evil acts privately. He was speaking of the way crime would creep into an apparently domestic situation. He then tells the story of a man who killed his wife because he was jealous of her cats. The wife loved them more than him. After he killed his cat and buried her in the basement, he started to love the cats. This made the neighbors suspicious. 86. Mr. Weed continues with the story. The wife murderer told the neighbors she was in California and showed them a letter she wrote to him. The neighbors knew she was an educated woman and could tell right away she did not write the letter. 87. Mr. Weed said, the perfect marriage came to an end when the neighbors called the police and found the body. There are a great many who escape temporarily. Things are getting worse. It is the death of our Christian civilization. He complains of the portable electric chair that can be plugged into any outlet. 88. Mr. Weed thought the electric chair was heartless efficiency. The Barbados Slave Code of 1661, officially titled as an Act for the Better Ordering and Governing of Negroes, was a law passed by the Parliament of Barbados to provide a legal basis for slavery in the English colony of Barbados. It marked the beginning of the legal codification of slavery. Mr. Weed claimed that the Barbados Negroes were executed using an electric chair in a truck that went from village to village. No direct references could be found for this. 89. Mr. Weed chokes as he says, I do my best to be a Christian hangman. His neighbors think he is heartless. He is simply trying to fix the terrible memory of the live Negro who was cut down from the rope. Sometimes it seems to me I see him pushing a baby carriage up a hill. He says the neighbors do not realize the personal sacrifices he has made to help convicts. 90. Mr. Weed claims he never talks, but others talk to him. His efficiency had nothing to do with what he thought. 91. Mr. Weed says a woman gave him a green stone to symbolize, I was as silent as she was going to be when she was hanged. 92. Who was a silent woman? Sorry, I'm thinking the tavern man asked this. 93. Mr. Weed continues the story of the woman who gave him the green stone. When she was 19, she dressed as a man and murdered a traveling salesman during duck hunting season. She laughed when the man begged for mercy and said he was a father to many children. 94. Mr. Weed met her in her jail cell that was well furnished. 95. Mr. Weed continued the story that the woman was never hanged. The sheriff fell in love with her and with his wife. They were all in jail, sheriff, an old wife, and girl. The woman tried to hang herself, but as far as he knows, she is still alive. 96. Mr. Weed was successful at what he did and thanked God that he never had to execute a woman. There have only been 9 women hanged for murder in the U.S. The only thing that bothered him was that a man experiences that the instant his neck is broken and for an instant afterward... Yeah. Okay. The only thing that bothered him was that a man experiences at the instant his neck is broken and for an instant afterward a convulsion, an agony of life, a ghostly progeny is always shot forth into the empty air. 10,000 sons and daughters fall like a cobweb into everlasting nothingness, nothingness forever. Or else his seed takes root and his children spring up around the scaffold. Flower-faced children, winged like birds and rooted in earth, the mandrakes screaming when they are pulled up by the roots. For they are the children of the hanged man and they grow like the little weeds. That was why the hangman thought of hanging as a marriage ceremony with death. So, I looked this up. This folklore is based on the mandrake plant, which is a hallucinogenic and narcotic. It is said that it grows from the blood of a hanged man, and the tuber can resemble a human form. It is considered a myth that men ejaculate when they are executed. And I most definitely used incognito window to try and look this up. But good Lord, yeah. It's considered a myth that they do. 97. Mr. Weed laments, there seems to be no perfect hanging, but only a perfect knot. He says the false marriage haunts him. He wonders if he is sick. 98. The tavern landlord complains Mr. Weed isn't sick and tells the same stories every time he stays. He is tired of them and wants Mr. Weed to change the subject. 99. Mr. Weed is sorry the hangings are boring. His animals and family on the farm are doing well. He wanted to paint the house. 100. Mr. Weed says everything happens twice. Life goes on. I'm always playing my old Jew's harp. 101, Mr. Weed digs in his pocket and discovers he has a black poker chip. He never gambled, so he wonders how it had gotten into his pocket. 102, Mr. Weed explains the suit is his oldest and the black poker chip was an important clue anyway. He thought the police had given it to him. 103, Mr. Weed says there was never a gambler in that case. A Jehovah's Witness found it. 104, Mr. Weed was going to throw it away, but the tavern landlord yelled at him to put it back in his pocket. He doesn't want to get involved with any potential evidence. And this everything happens twice. Okay. 105, Mr. Weed doesn't understand what the fuss is about and says he will just add it to his drawer, filled with old relics of old crimes, lost handkerchiefs, a bird's nest, a doll. 106, Mr. Weed couldn't make it home tonight because the river was swollen. He wanted to see about his life insurance policy. 107, the tavern landlord warns Mr. Weed not to hang himself in the room. And the last paragraph, 108. The tavern landlord went up the stairs to his room. Vera waited for her turn and for a clock to strike the hour. No clock struck. Silas, how long is 69? Sorry, this is a bit chopped up since I... No, that's a long chapter too. Okay. That's it then. All right. We'll be back with chapter 69. This ended up being really short, even though there was 100 and some paragraphs in the chapter, so I didn't get to tack it on to the end. Sorry about that, but oh well, it happens. Thank you for listening. Bye.